Hi, everyone, and welcome to Not About the Weather, episode number 6. My name is Karen, and today I'm joined by Danya and Mitch once again. I think the last episode I was on, it was just the three of us too, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is the dream team.
Oh, it is the dream team. As usual, if you would like to contact us, please hit us up at NATW Podcast on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and Gmail. Our website is notaboutheweatherpodcast.com, which you can also follow as a Tumblr account. And before we get into our obsessions to share and our grievances to air, how are you guys doing?
Okay. I'm feeling kind of tired. I went for a run after work, so yeah. I'm feeling a little bit like I've got like adrenaline, but I'm also like tired.
That makes sense.
Yeah. That's how I feel after I do yoga. It's a lot like that because you're basically going into like a sauna, but you're working out in the sauna. So you come out of it and you're like, oh my God, my life is nothing. Like you can't, like you feel so great from all those endorphins, but then you also feel so horrible from sweating out every electrolyte you've ever owned in your body.
You guys are doing much better than me. I'm kind of like taking on human burrito status, and I'm just wrapped up in a blanket trying to keep my feet warm, doing work from bed. Hashtag life of a freelancer.
I've been kind of living the human burrito life, which is at the point where I've put on more weight than I'm probably comfortable with. So now I'm like, okay, gotta do something about that then.
But burritos are so good.
Yeah, that's true. You did have to remind me to eat last night, though.
I did. That was funny. I was like, you always choose food, Danya. Like, if there's an option to eat, you choose that option.
Proving that you are the ruler of the universe, Karen. You do parent everyone in a lovely way.
Which is funny, because Danya often parents me. She takes
it's
care
true.
Of me.
It's very true. I am, like, the definition of mom friend.
That is true. That is true. She is tiny, but she is motherly. This actually works really well for most of our grievances, which is what we're going to start with this week. And, Mitch, you've been sick. Has anyone been taking care of you?
No. Which is funny, because it'll lead into my hype, because my hype is all about, spoiler alert, I guess, moving to where you want while you're still able to. Well, yeah, I moved to where I want, but I moved alone this time, and not knowing anyone and getting really sick wasn't fun, so I wanted to kind of make this, like, a gripe with, yeah, the positive swing that I'm always looking at. This time, I wanted to say that if you have the flu or any really bad head colds and you're coughing and you're sneezing, just don't do that in public. Don't go around in people's faces doing that. Elbow is a thing. You can do that. That's fine. You really will get by a lot better in life. Yeah, wash your hands. I'm not your mother. That's Danya. That's okay. She'll tell you to do that. So I've been really, yeah, you can hear it in my voice. I've been really down and out for the count. Meaning that my hypes and my gripes aren't like pop culture fun things that I've been out doing. Because I've sincerely been sleeping this past 2 weeks almost all day. It's kicked my ass. So horribly. But some of the things you can do while you're sick. So maybe you saved a game or a movie or a book for a while, and you've been waiting and waiting. Mine was the Katamari games. Don, you'll probably know that game.
I love the Katamari games so much.
You roll up things in a magic ball, you collect everything, and eventually you get to collect, like, continents and constellations because you're so large on top of the world. It's amazing. So that was my fun, like, candy to get through this. Another thing, too, that I figure is just allow yourself to sleep and enjoy it, because you're not going to get any work done. The more you try and get done, the worse off you're going to be. Karen, I feel like this is a problem you often have. You
yes, don't know I was how just going to agree with you.
Yeah, you're one of those, I'm going to work until I'm dead types. So I was not that, because I probably would have been dead by now. And yeah, the last part is kind of, once again, I guess this relates to that, Karen, where I would say just don't go out. Like, don't go to work, school, hang out with friends, anything, because you're going to probably spread it out to them, and they're not going to appreciate that, because then they're going to be really sick. So Yeah, that's the best I can get out of, like, a gripe. We're trying to, and I hope bringing this up doesn't, like, tangent the conversation. We're trying to, like, stay out of politics and just keep it, like, worldly. Because, yeah, I think we all heard a lot going on there, and we're trying to, like, bubble this. I don't really know. I don't really, it's an interesting world right now. When you're all sick and bundled up like this, I'm definitely my own type of human burrito right now, too, Karen. I'll get you there.
Yeah, I was just going to say that. It was like, you know, don't go out. Sometimes you just need to embrace the human burrito status and feel better about yourself. And embrace the sexy voice, because yeah, you got a little sure bit of that going. Yeah, I'm sure it's a sexy voice to
someone, because it sounds really plugged up to me. But other people might like this, like, scratchy, gravelly sound that I have going on.
So I started a new job a couple of weeks ago, and... like, in the first week, we went to a big event in London, and one of the guys who came along to the event was sick. So it got progressively worse as the event went on, and he got sicker and sicker, and eventually he got sent home and told, like, just go and get some rest, and that's it. By the time we got back to the offices, two other people had got sick. Then a third person got sick. Then a fourth person got sick, because all those people were coming into the office and coughing and sneezing. And it just miraculously, I didn't end up sick, because before I was like doing anything, I was like hand sanitizer and I was taking airborne.
Oh, you know, yeah. Those,
I picked up some airborne at the airport when I was coming back from New York Comic Con, because I was starting to get sort of sick, and I was like, okay, I need to, like, kill this as fast as possible. I don't have time to be sick.
We all got sick at New York Comic Con.
We did.
Don't you get sick every time you go, Karen?
I usually get some form of con crud, which is really funny, because especially when I was younger, I had, like, a super immune system, and I wouldn't really get sick. And now I do work from home, like, don't go out and have a ton of contact with people, don't live directly in the city, so I don't get sick that often. But lately, like, I'm pretty sure I got sick at San Diego, too, and it was just awful.
Yeah, but I feel like with conventions, especially ones on the scale of, like, New York Comic Con and San Diego Comic Con, like, you're talking hundreds of thousands of people there. Mm-hmm. And the fact that, like, they're all coming into contact with each other, it's very close quarters, there's so many people. Like, statistically, you're going to get sick, because at least one person there is going to be sick. And they're going to pass it on to someone else, to someone else, to someone else, to someone else. So, yeah.
So that's my gripe for the week, and I'm glad that y'all feel just as passionate as I do about just staying home when you're sick. I don't want to do one of my life a big favor.
I feel so hypocritical, because I'm always like, stay at home when you're sick, you know, relax, chill out, take medicine, you know, just beat it. Like, don't go out, don't force yourself to do things, you know, get rest, because you'll get better faster. Yet when I get sick, I'm like, I'm not sick. I get up, I like go out, I'm like go to work, do everything, and then it lasts for longer and longer and longer, and usually I get sicker and sicker and sicker until like it's really bad.
Oh, there was no denial period for this time. Like, I don't know, I didn't go to a doctor because I just didn't, I don't know, like I just I probably should have, but I just started healing on my own eventually, and I was a little bit indignant about it all. So another part of this is I just got my tonsils taken out, like, 3 months ago, and they're all, like, angry again. Well, what used to be tonsils are angry again. So I was kind of afraid, too, of going to a doctor and them being like, the surgery went wrong, you have to do it again. So I guess...
Avoidance is not the answer, Mitch.
I know it's not. I know. I've been trying to say, like, oh, I'm just too sick to go to the doctor. That's probably a good sign that you should go to the doctor.
Yeah. So funny. I feel like, and especially this is true for Danya and I, like, the people who tend to offer a lot of advice or people come to for advice can never take their own advice. Yeah. So, Danya, if I, like, worked in an office, I'd be going to work every day, too.
It's so awful, but it is a bit hypocritical. We give out great advice. All three of us, we really do in life.
True.
When it comes to application, we're like,
And that's actually a good segue into what you want to talk about this week, Danya, I feel like. Maybe the opposite side of that.
Yeah, so my gripe is kind of more of a gripe at myself, I guess, and I guess almost my brain chemistry. I've been feeling, for no reason at all, this horrible lack of motivation. I've been feeling really lethargic and just not really wanting to do anything, and it's been really hard because, like, I'm... For anyone who's met me in person, you'll know that I'm very, very outgoing. I'm very social. I'm very, like, friendly, and I tend to be fairly upbeat. But I kind of walk this line of, like, that's actually really hard for me to do sometimes, and I get really burnt out. And I've kind of hit a point where I'm, like, really burnt out and on life, just life in general. So I've just kind of been finding it really, really hard to motivate myself to do anything. I've, like, been forcing myself, like, get up in the morning, go for a shower, go to work, do your work. But by the time I've put in all of that effort into appearing normal at this new job, and I love the job. Like, it's been great. It's really challenging and it's really fulfilling versus what I was doing before. But by the time I get home, I'm just like, I don't want to do anything. I don't want to talk to anyone. I don't want to speak to, like, anyone in the house. I don't want to see anyone in the house. I was finding it really difficult to go up into the kitchen to cook food because I was getting really anxious that I would have to see someone in the kitchen and therefore hold a conversation. And so I've just been having a really hard time with it. And I don't know necessarily if I'd class it as depression, but I'm finding it really, really hard to, like, quantify exactly what it is because I can't pinpoint it to anything in particular, but it's been like I've been having to force myself to watch TV shows and keep up to date with them and keep up to date with other things, but then I haven't felt like after that point I want to engage in, like, discussing them or anything. So it's been really, really hard as well because obviously I host Hero Hype and Resistance Radio, so I have to be really on all the time with superhero shows and movies and then Star Wars stuff as well. So to be able to talk about that and discuss it and break down, like, episodes of stuff that's been on, I feel like I need to be really engaged with it, but I haven't been. And especially when it's come to, like, writing articles and stuff as well, I just, my brain just, for some reason, has come off the tracks and I can't seem to get it back on again.
And it's so frustrating when you can't pinpoint those triggers, because then you don't know what to change in order to help yourself through that. For me, because I do work from home, I work all day, every day. I work 7 days a week. I probably work 18 hours a day. I'm just constantly working. Granted, it's things that I love doing. I'm very fortunate that I love to edit and I love to write. And those are two of my major sources of income. So it's enjoyable for me, but, like, last Saturday, I ended up doing nothing. Actually, Kristen and I, my roommate, built a little bed out of pillows and sat down and watched Angel and Buffy for a little while, and I just felt totally unmotivated, even though I had deadlines and stuff that I really needed to get done. And you always feel really guilty when you're lethargic like that and when you have no motivation to get things done. And yet at the same time, for people who do work really hard and really long hours, you get burned out and you have to take a break, but sometimes I don't think to take those breaks until my body literally just can't function anymore.
Yeah, and I think, like, if I stop and think about it, like, the last couple of months have been a lot. Like, coming off the back of New York Comic Con, which was pretty much all on all the time from the second I landed to the second I flew back out again, and that was so close to San Diego Comic Con, and then there was other stuff in between that, and it's just been go, 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 and then switching jobs and having to get up to speed with a new job in the middle of all of this, and then, like, I feel guilty over the fact that I've, like, just shut down completely. Like, if I go on my Facebook Messenger and my other Messenger apps, like, I can see messages sitting there, like, in the double digits, like, triple digits on some of them, because I just can't bring myself to answer all of those messages. And the more that they build up and the more that I'm letting a backlog happen, the more I'm like, I can't deal with people, I can't do it. And it's just been getting, like, on top of me, and I don't know what to do. I've been hoping that going out and doing, like, some exercise might, like, help a little bit with, like, not so much motivation, but, like, getting myself into a routine of something and maybe helping with getting my adrenaline up a little bit to see if that's going to perk me up when I get home. But again, that also takes time away in my evening. So it has the knock-on effect that I have less time when I get home to do stuff then. But I'm in a really odd place right now, emotionally.
I'm really sorry to hear this, Danya. It makes me sad because I love the lovely bubble of energy, Danya, but I get the same effect for myself because I get so tired of people and work and driving and everything when I'm driving Lyft for so long, and it comes to the point where I need to get, like, human shutdown, and I can't speak to people and I can't be a person for anyone, because to me, I look at it this way. You're almost giving yourself, like, kind of a horcrux slice of your soul to everyone, but a very tiny bit. Or maybe we're just to the point where our soul is being split up into 1/100, 1/500, because we've done that so many times. So it's so exhausting. You have very little to give to the world because you can't or won't or aren't able to give yourself that recharge. I think that your soul can grow. I don't know if this is exactly, like, akin to a Harry Potter thing. I think you can gain back some more of those, I'm going to call them soul bits. You can feel more re-energized to get into it all.
I'm like here going, oh no, my soul.
No, you're not dead inside. Hopefully. No. What I'd say is the best way of getting about this is, what I do is I look forward to, like, vacations or family or friends that I haven't seen in a while. And those are the things that get me through these moments in life where I am stuck and I cannot get out of bed when I need to. And I am so just, you feel physically tired from all of that emotional baggage you have to carry from all the people that give it to you if you're empathizing with them. Or maybe you're just tired because you're giving too much to everyone else. It's important to, I think, always have something fun planned in the future, something that's just for you, and be selfish about it. It's okay if not everyone likes the fact that you're doing what you're doing, because you're not going to please everyone and always be a happy person. You can't ever have those two things. It's always going to be a balance in life.
I feel like this is a much bigger discussion that we should have sometime, because I kind of just realized that the three of us, well, I mean, we kind of said it already, but the three of us are very similar in that we talk to people a lot and people come to us to talk about things a lot. And I love that. I love that people feel comfortable doing that. But as an introvert, that is also very exhausting, physically exhausting, and not a lot of extroverts understand the way that that works for an introvert. So even though I enjoy talking to people, after a while, I do the same thing, Danya. Like, I'll see a bunch of messages and I'm like, I know I should answer this person, but right now I just cannot bring myself to click on their message and read it and respond, because you do give a little bit of yourself. Like, it's kind of funny calling them like soul bits or horcruxes or anything, but you give a little bit of yourself to somebody when you offer them advice and you offer them a piece of yourself in return. And yeah, that just, it, you have to shut down sometimes and you have to walk away. And some people do that by literally just, you know, going on a social media blackout, which, Danya, I know you've done before. But it's also really difficult to do because a lot of our friends are online. Obviously, what we do for Hypeable is online. And to walk away from those responsibilities, you know you're letting other people down. So it's can be really hard sometimes.
Yeah, tell me about it. Actually thinking about it, though, the three of us are very, very similar in personality types, I think.
Oh, yeah. I've known that for a while, and it just kind of came together that we've had these two episodes of Not About the Weather together to have it as, like, a spoken realization, but I've always just kind of known it.
Yeah. I mean, it's that odd thing as well, is that people assume I'm extroverted, but I would class myself as introverted as well.
Yeah.
You do a very good job of being, of taking action, which a lot of introverts can't do. I have a lot of trouble with that. But just because you're able to talk to people doesn't mean that you are an extrovert. It has a lot more to do with the energy levels, like we were talking about. So
yeah, very good at flagging.
I like to send Danya out to talk to people while I sit behind a table at a convention or something.
It's so true. I usually end up being the person talking, but usually when I get back from conventions, then I go into complete shutdown mode, and I'm like, okay, I've had my quota of people for an entire month now.
Yep. And I've had moments like this with both of you guys that, I remember Danya at Disneyland, we were hanging out there. There came a point when I wanted to sit and talk about Captain America in line with you, and I think Kyle, for the longest time, because it was a long line and it didn't have to be out in the sun. I didn't have to talk to anyone else. I could just relax and just chat about something really outside of our world. And that was nice and calming to get out of it all. And Karen, I felt like that, okay, every time that we've been to a convention or whatever we've done, I've always found myself just seeing Karen in the crowd somewhere. And I'm like, oh, there she is. And I go right to you and I'm like, you don't even know. This is too much. And you're like, calm down, Mitch. It'll be okay. You'll breathe. You'll get through this.
Yeah, we're good for each other because we understand how all of that feels.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
One thing I want to know, though, if we are on the same page for, I have a feeling probably not, and this is slightly unrelated, but my gripe this week is greeting cards. I hate greeting cards.
Oh.
I think they're the worst.
Wow.
I hate receiving them, and I hate giving them. And that sounds kind of mean, and it is a little bit, because people... Yeah. people give me cards, and I appreciate the gesture, and I know that for some people, cards, like giving and receiving cards, are kind of a big deal, and they really enjoy that, and I try to keep that in mind and not get angry about it, but objectively, I really hate greeting cards, because I think as a writer, I hate the idea of somebody giving me something that they haven't written, and I understand relating to what is in the card, but it just seems forced to me, and especially the idea that you need to give people a card for their birthday or for Christmas or something like that. I'm a very, very good person to my core, but there is a little slice of me that is really rebellious, and the part where they're this is expected of you, I'm like, that means I'm not going to do it then. I usually, my mom for her birthday was like, I want one thing from you. I want a birthday card. And I was like, I kind of want to tell you no, but it's your birthday.
You know what's funny?
Asking me specifically.
I planned on opening up this episode by being like, happy birthday, Karen. And we got so stuck up in our lives. I'm so sorry. Happy birthday, Karen.
Thanks. I was kind of hoping that you guys would forget.
Oh, no. Well, that's another reason I didn't want to bring it up. But I was I feel horrible because I didn't want to just write it. Because I was like, I'm talking to her today. I have to say it in like real life.
There's going to be a whole segment later where it's all about Karen's birthday.
That is
what?
True.
That seems not fair.
I can't wait.
But on to kind of not keep this like totally negative, even though this is our gripe. Like I really appreciate like the little things, and I guess that's another reason why I don't like cards, because it is expected that you give somebody a card. I don't want to receive a card because somebody felt obligated to do that. I would much rather somebody text me, which is also kind of, you know, informal or what's the word? Not informal.
Casual, I guess. Maybe.
Detached.
Like it's impersonal. Texting can be very impersonal, but if somebody texts me and is like, hey, I really appreciate you, happy birthday, this is why I love you, that means so much more to me than, oh, somebody sent me a birthday card.
So basically me every day.
Well, I would say Danielle gives the best birthday wishes every year.
Yes, she does.
By
she
and far.
Does.
She just so goes, true. She like knocks it out of the park for everyone. She always has like a special memory and a picture and like a fun thing to talk about with it all. I think it's because right? You can't not get along with that girl. You have to hang out with her and have a great time. If you don't, then I don't know what you're doing wrong.
She's such a good person. I really love Danielle. But yeah, am I like a total Grinch? Or is that understandable?
Makes sense now.
No, it does. It makes a lot of sense. I find that, I don't dislike getting cards. It's fine. And especially if people have put a little bit of thought into it and have found, like, ones that are, like, very specifically linked to a memory or a moment or an in-joke or something like that. Those are the ones I tend to appreciate more. But the ones that are just, like, really generic, really kind of, I guess, the Hallmark kind of saccharine sweetness
yes.
and over-the-top ridiculous stuff. Those are the kinds of cards that my mum loves. And if I don't get my mum a card, or if I don't deliver a card for, like, very specific occasions all through the year, and it doesn't get to her on time, she... Like, she gets so mad at me. Like,
oh, that's a lot.
She will actually blank me a lot of the time and get, like, really, really grumpy. And, unfortunately, I forgot to send my mum and dad's anniversary card this year. I went out to San Diego Comic-Con, and it was on my desk, and I forgot to mail it before I left. So, when I got back from San Diego Comic-Con... like their anniversary was the day after, so it was never going to get there on time. I did get it to them, but it was late, and she was not happy with me. And that's what bothers me, is if you put the importance, because I called them and I spoke to them on the phone and said, you know, happy anniversary, and asked how they were and what they were going to be doing and stuff, and we had a long, like a really long chat. And for me, that feels more personal, and for me, that feels more connected emotionally to, you know, the occasion. But like, my mum was so mad at me. So if you place importance on a piece of card versus the actual relationship and the friendship and stuff like that, then that bothers me a lot.
Yeah.
And I'm going to be devil's advocate, not because I really understand all the way what's going on, Danya. But I think that it could be something about, like, what my mom would want. Like, a physical thing to hang up on the fridge. Not that it, like, almost like a trophy, in a weird way. To say, like, I'm loved and here's the reminder. But it could just be like, wow, why don't you just take that and put that within memories? I get that, too.
Yeah. And, you know, there's, like, I don't know too much about this, but in psychology, there are different ways that people receive or understand the way in which they are loved. And for some people, that is physically with gifts. For some people, it's with actions. For others, it's doing favors, that kind of thing. So I guess for some people, receiving that little bit of, like, physical love and being able to look at it means a lot to them versus somebody like me who would rather you tell me in, you know, words that I am loved and how I am loved. So I guess it does depend on the person.
Different strokes.
Yes. But let's talk about some happy things now. Who wants to start?
I led it into mine, so like, can I just do it so that we have surprises after mine? It's like a present.
Sure.
Okay, so mine is that if you have somewhere you want to move, and it's feasible, and it's not too incredibly expensive to do, you should do it. And that comes with, of course, the caveat that I referenced before, that you should do it, hopefully with a friend, or moving to somewhere that you know someone, or you even have some way to meet people, probably school. That's probably my best suggestion, because I did move to Seattle alone, and it's been like, oh, it's raining outside, and I'm all alone now. So, and I've made friends. I'm like, I'm too charismatic to not make friends everywhere I go. My closest friends here, for the 6 months that I've been here, are the people that I met on the first day that I was here, matter of fact, because I came into my Airbnb, and they were just this really nice couple, and we're going to go see Fantastic Beasts on Saturday after we're going to a pop culture convention in the city. So it's just like, it's fun to build that. I do wish that I had like a family member to take care of me when I was sick. That's the only thing that I'm like, ah, because another big thing here too, is that you have to make sure that you're ready to do it. I was also a little bit rushed into the Seattle move more than I would have. So if you're careful and if you're having fun with it and you're going for a purpose, a job, a school, or a friend, or a relationship, I think that moving to anywhere you really have wanted to go for a while, it could be a good thing. Move out of your bubble a little bit. Just poke it if you need to. Stay in the same state even if you need to. And I think you'll be surprised by how much you didn't know, how much there is to learn about the world around you, and how much you're going to learn about yourself just from being on your own in any amount of time.
Yeah, I relate to that a lot. I'm sure. As you guys know, I moved to North Carolina and lasted 7 months because I really hated it down there. And then I moved to Ohio. I'm originally from upstate New York. Then I moved to Ohio and realized that Ohio feels very much like home to me already, which is pretty amazing and weird and different, but it works. And I have learned a lot about myself and the way that I live my life and want to live my life. And moving really kind of puts a spotlight on that, especially when you have a roommate mm-hmm. and you have to interact with each other and learn each other's quirks. And luckily, Kristen and I get along like seamlessly. It is so easy living with her. That. But
I love yeah. you two together.
But, you know, that's not the case with everybody, and I think I was extremely lucky in that I didn't have to go through those trials and tribulations of, like, what works and what doesn't work. It all just kind of worked from the beginning, so, yay. Also, Mitch, I have to say, can I come visit you if yeah. I ever want to, like, if I ever want to go to Vancouver and visit yeah. some sets, I want to come crash on your couch/floor. I don't yes. know if you have a couch. I don't have a couch.
I have a ginormous couch, and I even have a blow-up bed.
Yes.
Yeah. And I have cats.
Party at Mitch's place. Woo!
Yay, studio apartment party.
I've never been to Washington State, so that would be really cool.
Yeah, and I've never
apparently
been to
Vancouver.
Apparently
they have, like, great museums.
Really?
Oh, Seattle has like I was saying, the pop culture convention I'm going to. A party, I think. It's a pop culture museum. It's dedicated to entertainment. They have, okay, and you're going to love this now that you've gotten more into horror. The entire basement has a study of horror film. And Buffy is even featured for a good amount of it. They even have, like, Mr. Pointy and a big book of evil that I haven't gotten to the show yet or something. So, yeah, no, it's really cool. It's so beautiful. This town, it has a beauty that I haven't seen in any of the other cities that I've lived in, Los Angeles, Denver, New York. I haven't really felt like I've found a slice like I have here. This feels like a good secret because people think that it rains so much. I mean, I just mentioned that it rains, but it's not like all day 24/7. Usually it's at night when the sun's not out to burn off the clouds. It's a light drizzle. It's never really the end of the world.
Karen is already, like, booking her plane tickets.
If I had to sell Seattle, I guess. It's an expensive flight from, like, everywhere. There's never a cheap way to get to Seattle, unfortunately. My flights to New York are expensive. Oh, my God.
I can imagine.
And it was funny, too. I amongst moving from Denver to Seattle, I'm now about to go back to New York for Christmas, so 4 times this year. I don't know how that happened. That makes no sense to me.
Yeah, I've taken a couple of trips back to the East Coast, and it's been a little bit of a money drain, but worth it when you can see your friends and family.
It is, but there's another good thing, too, about moving away, that if you want to be missed and you want to feel appreciated, this is so narcissistic, but you will feel that way when you've been gone for a little bit, and it's fun because you're like, I like this feeling, I want to go back and feel it again, but if you go back too often, you won't get that feeling all the time. It's a cough laugh, yeah. Oh no, it's true, though. It's true, because people just start to get used to you again, and it's like, oh, it's not as special that I'm around.
Yeah,
I will say that is very true of my experience as well. Visiting my best friend in New York and her girlfriend, who I both made listen to this podcast. So, yeah. Hi, guys. I feel very loved when I go visit them because they're like, we want to hang out with you all the time. What do you want to do? Let's do everything Karen wants to do. And I'm like, yes, let's. That sounds fantastic.
Like a celebrity who walks into town, right? Because everyone, like all your family's like, oh, tell me what you're doing. Keep me at, yeah, it's so much fun.
Yeah, I moved from Wales for the first time. I moved out of Wales for the first time in my life, like, last year. So I've been living in Basingstoke in the south of England for about a year or so. And it's a bit of a trek back to my mum and dad's place. I have to drive it. It's between 3 and 4 hours, traffic depending. And usually whenever I'm back, it's like, it's really weird. Because a lot of the time, me and my mum, like, we butt heads a lot. Because personality-wise, we clash, like, really badly. So if we're in prolonged contact with each other in, like, a very enclosed space, that tends to not work out so well. So actually moving so far away has actually helped our relationship a lot.
That happens sometimes. It's the same sentiment behind, like, you can have a really, really, really close friend that you just cannot live with.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's happened to me a lot. Where I've lived with people where I'm like, I really, really like them, but living with them has been, like, a nightmare. But, yeah. Like, where I am right now is good. Is it where I always thought that I would live? No, but it's as good a place as anywhere, really.
Distance always will make the heart grow fonder in that way, too. You'll find that the people that even you had the most questionable relationships with when you lived near them, that you'll feel maybe sometimes closer with them when you've gone away, because you'll have the memories of the past to connect you guys, as opposed to your differences while you're with each other to push you further apart.
That is very astute, Mitch.
Oh, my thanks.
There's the sexy voice again.
There it is.
let's bring this back around to some pop culture stuff, because both Danya and I have some shows we want to talk about. Danya, why don't you start first?
Yeah, so it was actually between this and the Beauty and the Beast trailer, but because
I'm shocked.
Yeah, me too, actually.
The Beauty and the Beast trailer.
It's mostly because I can't actually talk about it without, like, almost crying. Yeah. Okay, aww. So we're not going to do that because I can't talk about it without crying.
I love you so much.
You're perfect.
So, until I can compose myself enough to talk about Beauty and the Beast without crying, and I am literally blinking my eyes right now to, like, blink away tears, because even just saying Beauty and the Beast trailer is like... No!
The Crown. You want to talk about The Crown?
So we're going to talk about The Crown, which is a new Netflix original show, one of the most expensive that they've done. It's basically based around the coronation of Elizabeth II, so our current reigning monarch. So it's all about how she came into power, how she was crowned, and the immediate days and weeks and months and years after that. So it's about, like, the death of her father, her marriage to Philip, and her relationship with her mother, her grandmother, her sister, and the Prime Minister at the time, Winston Churchill. Yeah, so it's really, really interesting, because a lot of the time when people do shows or do anything that, like, puts a spotlight on our monarchy, it's very much like an idealized version of it. It's very much really polished and really romantic and really beautiful and really wonderful, but it never honestly portrays, like, the difficulties that they have or even their flaws, because they are very deeply flawed people. So, this is one of the few shows that I found myself motivated and wanting to watch. And I didn't binge it, which is really odd for me with a Netflix show, particularly a Netflix original show. I tend to, like, binge the whole thing in, like, a very, very short amount of time. But I really drew this out. Like, I watched, like, maybe one or two episodes in a go and just kind of took my time with it. And the actual truth behind it is startling. Like, the actual events that happened, they portrayed them with real honesty, and particularly the opinions and personality of Prince Philip, who is Queen Elizabeth's husband. He is very well known for being quite racist. So I was a little bit concerned about how they'd approach that, because I felt like they'd probably sanitize it. They'd, like, really make it a gentle portrayal. They'd kind of soften it. They didn't at all. He's played very, very well by Matt Smith. But also, they did not shy away from the fact that, you know, Philip, his worldview and his views of, like, other people and some of the stuff he said is, like, awful. Like, it's so bad. But it also showed that, you know, there are other sides to him that are, like, really in conflict, because by becoming, like, Elizabeth's husband, he basically signed his whole life away. He couldn't have a career. He couldn't do anything dangerous, you know. So, he gave up his house. He gave up so much just to stand by her side. And, yeah, it was a really honest account of, like, Elizabeth and Elizabeth not being able to be Elizabeth the woman, but Elizabeth the queen, because people don't want someone sympathetic when they think about the monarchy and the crown. They want a symbol. So she has to be very neutral. She can't have opinions. She can't be outspoken about things. She basically just has to be a higher ideal of things. So she just becomes a status, a symbol of the people, but nothing more than that. And it was like a really interesting look at the monarchy, one that really hasn't been done before. So yeah, I really enjoyed it. And it also showed, like, that conflict between Elizabeth the woman and Elizabeth the queen, and how it literally destroyed her personal relationships as well, with, like, her sister I don't want to spoil it. I mean, it's hard to spoil, but if you aren't very au fait with, like, the British monarchy and British history, then a lot of this will be a surprise. But if you know about Queen Elizabeth and what she did during the war and directly after the World War II and around the time when she was crowned, then not a lot will come as a surprise, but it's still very, very interesting.
I saw commercials for this show and immediately was attracted to the production quality. It looked like it was incredibly well done. And I mean, I have a lot of faith in Netflix to begin with. Their original series are just out of this world. They blow so many other TV shows out of the water. And this is something that looked very interesting to me. And I've heard a lot of really good things coming out of it, and we've covered it on the site as well, and I've seen some of the reviews and they seemed very positive. I haven't seen it yet, although I am planning to at some point, but my one major question was about how accurate was it, how much of a spin did they put on things, did they sanitize it? And it's good to know that that was limited. I'm sure that it's still there.
There's some drama. Yeah, there's definitely some dramatization, but mm-hmm. It really didn't shy away from some of the flaws in their character, like the flaws in their personalities, because no one is perfect. Like, that's just, we're all human at the end of the day. We're going to make mistakes where We're never gonna be everything to all people at all times, and we can't be held up to like perfect ideals. It's never gonna work. So the fact that they actually made them human was something that I can't say I was expecting going in, because it's not what I'm used to. I'm used to it being very romantic and very, you know, dreamlike and a very idealized version of the monarchy, which a lot of people dream of being royalty, but there's so much that comes with it that's not great. Mm-hmm. And this really did show the downsides to being a monarch and being part of the royal family, without obviously spoiling specifics. But it did also show, like, it was very, very accurate to things that happened were happening at the time, like the Great Smog, which was this huge fog that descended on London because of polluted air and a storm that trapped all of the pollution and basically made a huge blanket of fog that descended on London for 3-4 days, maybe five. 3 days, I think it was.
Sounds ripe for a horror story.
I mean, you couldn't see in front of you. And it's completely true. Like, when you watch it and you get to that episode, know that that is completely accurate to how it looked at the time.
Did they just use a filter, or did they really just, like, put the actors through, like...
No, they actually... I read about how they did that, and they said that using it artificially and trying to do it artificially didn't look right. It didn't...
I can imagine, yeah.
It didn't look how a thick smog should look. So they actually genuinely made smog on set.
What?
And, yeah.
No, what?
Yeah, it's all practical.
Like, what's the smog they had? Hopefully it's, like, healthy smog. Is that a thing?
I mean... smog? you need to watch the episode, but I know that some of the criticism that I've seen from like British critics who are old enough to have lived through some of that time have said that it didn't really focus enough on the real struggles of the time with the people that she was ruling over. And you did get some of it, because you get a lot of focus on, like, the government and parliament and Winston Churchill as prime minister and his cabinet and her as well. And you get little tastes of it in the background. But the thing of it is that this was never going to be about the real struggles. It was always going to be about the monarchy itself. So I get that, again, it's another British series that has this focus on the upper class and the monarchy, and it's not really digging into the real struggles of the people of that time, but I feel like that it wouldn't have felt like the right place to have done it either, because it was so much about the personal stories and basically the downfall of her personal relationships with her own family, Elizabeth, that is, that it just wouldn't have felt right thematically for what they were going for. So I would love to see a period drama set around post-World War II, because there was so much happening in that time period in British history that would be really incredible to explore, and for us to not forget it as well, because I feel like a lot of what's happening in our culture right now is because we are forgetting. We are just far enough from the last time a lot of similar things happened that we can ignore it. But I feel like re-exploring these in our media and bringing a spotlight back on them again allows it to fall less from our memory and to remember it more. So I get the criticisms, but for me personally, it really worked a lot. And I was very impressed.
Does this sound like something you'd be interested in, Mitch?
You know, simply from like the Netflix perspective, I think I would be, because they do throw money at their sets. Like, let's just say that you're watching Orange is the New Black, and they cut away to a scene that they're going to show for 30 seconds. They have like a whole house built just for that scene, so they can show the character living in their home life when they were growing up. They have it period accurate. They have everything, like, to the T, miraculously just made to be beautiful and paused and looked at and seen and picked apart. It kind of reminds me of what it's like to read a really good book sometimes, getting really into a Netflix show, because you can rewatch it and see, wow, like, the writing even goes in depth with characters in the background that you weren't really going to pay attention to the first time around, but now that you've seen the plight of the protagonists, you want to see what's going on to, like, the side character that, like, you just kind of happens to, like, show up in the background a whole bunch of times, or even things like, yeah, that plot you thought wasn't important is going to build up a whole other season for the next season in a way that they can really do with Netflix, because they almost always are going to be renewed. I don't really know if a show being, like, canceled, they usually know their arc going in, like Hemlock Grove, Karen, didn't they know they were doing three seasons? Yeah, I can't think of too many other shows really on Netflix that have even seen their end, like officially, like this is the end of the show. Like, so that's another big thing too, is that there feels like, it feels like to me you could really go on for a very long time. They're talking like seven more seasons with Stranger Things or something. So if you like The Crown, I'm sure, Danya, it could work as just what it seems to be, like a singular one series thing. But if they wanted to, it seems like they could also do a lot more going into it. And that interests me as well.
Yeah, the way that Netflix allows the creators to create a story is really amazing. And I read a lot about this with The Get Down, which is Netflix's most expensive show. And the way that they allowed the creator to take it in a very specific direction and keep pushing it further and further and further. And yeah, it gets really expensive, but the payoff is also really great, especially if you come up with something that is very unique. And I feel like Netflix is all about giving us those very unique experiences, where on network television, you have to meet a quota and you have to have a certain style of show that audiences are used to. It's got to be different, but it's got to be the same. You know, it's got to be unique, but at the same time, it's got to hold something that we've seen before, so audiences will want to tune into that as well. Whereas Netflix kind of just jumps off the bridge and doesn't really worry about whether or not they're strapped in. And it's really been paying off for them so far. Unfortunately, Hemlock Grove does not sit in my mind with that. Maybe I'll gripe about that someday because, oh, I still have a lot of pent-up angry feelings about season 3. Oh, man.
All I know is that there's something about, like... Is it okay if I, like, give a minor weird kind of strange, stupid spoiler about that show? Is it, like, so obscure that no one really cares?
I mean, if people haven't seen it yet, you know, they can just, like, close their ears for 30 seconds.
Okay, because I just wanted to give this little anecdote about the show. There's a part where, I'm not going to give the characters' names, but it'll be obvious when you're watching it, so skip if you don't want to know, 15 seconds or something. The son eats his mother's tongue while they're making out. It's so weird. This show is just, like, it's graphic for graphic sense. It's not even for, like, a purpose.
Oh, yeah. From where I'm sitting right now, I have a little piece of promo merch from the show, and it's her tongue in a jar.
Is it really the prop or something?
It's not the actual prop. It's something that they were giving out for the season one, like, DVD or something like that. Andrew sent it to me. He sent me a tongue in a jar.
And you kept it?
Of course I kept it. It's freaking awesome.
Wow. Karen.
I am this slightly twisted.
This is like a
twisted.
New dark level. Keeping tongues in jars.
I mean, I'm pretty sure it's fake, but, you know.
I mean, you can hope.
I would hope. I haven't opened it.
How does one present a tongue in a jar? I don't even know how you make that. That's just... Wow.
I'll send a picture of it to you because...
I'm really curious.
It's
Karen. Put a picture up on the Instagram.
I could. That is the thing that we can use. So all right.
Use our social media.
Clean smog and tongue in a jar here. I don't know which episode title I'm going to go with now.
I was really hoping for human burrito to be good.
Yeah. Burrito. That one's a lot sweeter. That one has more of the feel too.
Yeah. My show that I wanted to talk about was Into the Badlands. Danya's watched about 3/4 of season 1, which only has 6 episodes. Mitch, have you watched this at all?
Okay, I'm embarrassed to say this. I'm not even familiar with the show. I know I should be able to hear a lot about it, but I'm willing to learn.
That's okay. I actually think you would like this. Yeah. It's a really interesting mashup of genres. And basically, okay, Into the Badlands is on AMC, so you know the quality is pretty high.
Yeah.
The first season only has 6 episodes, so it's very easy to get through. It's basically about this world that is set in the future, but a future that has outlawed guns. So in a lot of ways, they've reverted back to swords and knives. And the style of the show is very... what's the right word? It's like...
Like cowboy steampunk?
Not quite like that. The main baron who is in charge of, like... the area where we are in the most is very much like a plantation owner. Mm-hmm. That's the vibe you get. He's living in a house that looks like it's on a plantation. He has workers who pick poppies for him, and it's got that old kind of vibe to it. And the main character is played by Daniel Wu, who is really awesome. He plays Sunny, and he is... a clipper. He's a regent, so he defends the baron's lands, and he's in charge of the baron's army. And there are 7 barons in this land, and they all kind of are in a peaceful time right now, except one of them had just died, and his wife is trying to take over as baron, but there aren't any other women barons, so nobody's really giving her the time of day, so she kind of has to go out and take her respect.
Oh, is she like the main character then?
She's actually like one of the bad guys, quote unquote.
Okay.
It's very gray area. There are very few that I would say like this is an outright bad guy. The Widow is actually my favorite character on the show, even though she is a huge antagonist. But you also really come to understand why she's doing what she's doing. And even if you don't agree with her, you can sympathize with her character, which is like the mark of a good villain.
Yeah, like a Miyazaki villain.
And she is trying to establish herself as a baron and gain respect from these other people. But the main Sunny is the main character, but so is MK, who's played by Aramis Knight, and he has a special power that whenever he is cut, he has basically like superhuman strength and ability, and it's he can't really control it, but he is being searched out by a couple of these barons because they want him on their side. And it's about trying to survive in this world that is really difficult. I mean, people die left and right, but the cool thing about this show is that it's very, very focused on the martial arts, and they come at it in a Hong Kong style of fight choreography, which means you don't get as many of the cutscenes as you do in American martial arts movies. You actually get to see the punches being thrown and the kicks landing and people flying and reacting to these, which is my favorite kind of fight choreography to watch, because I hate when you can't see the actual fight happening. Like, that makes me so angry. But they approach this in a way where the people learn the whole fight and they film the whole fight and they'll go back in and do close-ups and stuff, but they want to make sure that it's focused less on the actual fighting and more on the actors and just letting them act through the scene, through this fight.
They're not using stunt doubles, it's just them.
I think there might be some stunt doubles, but the actors do a lot of the work there, and some of them had a background, like Daniel Wu has a background, and he's very well known, but other ones, this is the first time they're kind of coming into this, but they're really embracing it. And the acting is amazing, the fighting is amazing, the production quality is amazing, the story is really good. And they left it in a place at the end of season one where season two just sound like it's taking that next step. And season one, you really come to understand that it's just an introduction into this world and that the next step in the story is really going to kick things up a notch. And I was lucky enough to do a couple of interviews with the cast members, and the way that they talk about the show and the way that they appreciate how unique it is and how supportive everybody is, especially in terms of them learning the fight choreography, made me even more excited to watch season two, knowing that they're so proud of the thing that they've created.
Now, how supernatural does this get? Because you were talking about the guy that whenever he has a cut, he is superpowered, which is like a really obscure power. Is there any more talk of that, or is he just like the one, the only?
I want to say he's the one, the only. It's... They have... another thing I should say, too, is that it's... The fighting is heightened, like in, what's the name
Mortal
of that
Kombat.
Movie? No.
Hero? Or Crouching Tiger, Hidden
Crouching
Dragon?
Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon, where it's a little over the top, but that's also just the style. It's a little like that, so I can understand why some people, especially those who aren't used to watching that kind of movie or television show, are like, oh, this is kind of hokey. But like, if you embrace it, it's really cool. But other than that, it doesn't get any crazier than that. It's not like everybody has powers and stuff, but a lot of people are just incredibly good fighters.
Yeah, I was trying to like classify what this might be. I think I've gotten it down to like if The Walking Dead met The 100, met like a Jackie Chan movie.
I don't, you know, you might not be too far off.
I specialize in likenesses to other TV shows for some reason. It's always a thing I've done.
Yeah, but Donnie, you like this so far.
I do, yeah. And the thing with the show is that the what it's doing versus so many other shows that use Asian influences and elements to it is that it's not appropriating it. It's not whitewashing the material. It's not exoticizing it because it's paying the right amount of respect to its Asian background. But not only that, it's actually using Asian actors in it, which is...
It's really
I wish that it was... I wish that that was less of a thing that I would need to celebrate to be like, hey, you've got Asian elements in your, like, film, either or film or TV show, like, but where are the Asian people? I wish that that was less of a thing right now, but this show does it so well, where it's, like, got that balance done so great. So great. And I love this show. I really do just need to sit down and watch the rest of it, though.
Yeah, and kind of what you were saying, too, that it's not appropriating these elements is because the very world is based on this idea that all of these different cultures have come together, and it's this one big, giant mashup now, and it's not necessarily about different people being secluded because of their race or their culture. It's their ideals or their place within this system, and that you know, you have somebody who is at the top of the food chain who is a person of color, and you also have, you know, a white person at the top of the food chain, and the same can be said for the people at the bottom. That is not really an issue in a lot of ways. It has a lot more to do with the power that they've gained because they are smart and because they are cunning and because they are powerful. And I just appreciate that it is a very good show to look at and just be like, okay, this is kind of what would happen if everything just came together and you mash up all of these cultures and how that would end up playing out. And it's a very multicultural, interesting kind of show to walk into.
It is. I have a lot of love for it. I really do just need to finish the goddamn show, though.
Yes. And then come talk to me about it. And Mitch, if you end up watching it.
Oh, yeah. Well, I love especially your recommendations for TV shows for me to watch. Because, yeah, you and I do have a lot of the same tastes as things go. And I think it's really fun to talk about shows with you because, you know, like, even Scream, when it's a bad show, even, we still have fun. Because it's like, oh, God, I knew they were going to do that. So,
yeah,
it's fun from that aspect.
And especially if it's a bad show that I like.
Yes, yeah, because I like Scream.
Because I love shouldn't. Scream, but I like, shouldn't sometimes like it. It makes me angry.
There's no reason I should like that show. It's not even that it does justice to my series, to the movies, at all. It's not even in the same universe. Like, they don't mention anything from the movies.
Yeah.
It might as well have just... It's not even like a horror show anymore. It's not. It's just... It's like somewhat of like a gore fest mixed with like suspense thriller action, but it's not horror in the same way that the movies are, and that's sad. I miss out on like the spooky parts of it all. Like
that Halloween special though made me so mad. Ugh. I'm hoping season 3 picks back up, but that's a discussion for another time.
If Brooke's gone, I don't know how they do it.
She's
they'll bring her back for like spring break or something. Yeah.
Okay, so we are going to do 2 truths and a lie now, and it's Mitch's turn.
I wrote them down because I'd forget. All right, I have some good ones for y'all tonight. So, the 3 that I have today are... 1, my cats' names are Cloud and Lightning after the Final Fantasy protagonists. 2, I taught myself how to play the clarinet. 3, my favorite Disney princess is Ariel from The Little Mermaid. 2 truths, 1 lie. Which do you think is what, Danya?
Oh, God.
Can you read them one more time?
Yes. First, I'll shorthand them all. Cats are Cloud and Lightning from Final Fantasy. I taught myself to play clarinet. Favorite princess is Ariel.
I'm going to guess that the cats one is the lie.
Mm-hmm. How about you, Danya?
I'm going to guess the Disney princess one is the lie.
And before I reveal, why do you guys think those two are the lies?
I feel like Ariel is your favorite princess. And, I don't know, you teaching yourself the clarinet just feels right.
I don't care if that's a lie. I want it to be true.
And also, like, I swear I've seen your cat's name somewhere and I don't remember them being the names.
Okay, and Danya.
I'm so bad at names. I'm like, so that it could be the cats because I can't remember the names of like everyone's pets. I'm so bad.
How with dare it, you?
Well, I'll give you this much. You could have cheated and looked while we were doing this because I do have a cat Instagram. So it's like a little known thing. Like I don't like have people follow. It's more of just like so I organize the pictures of the cats and I have cute filters for them. So I let friends follow it just for like fun, but it's not like I'm really doing it for like the clicks or something, whatever. No, the cats is the lie. Yeah, because they're actually named Rain and Storm, not Cloud and Lightning. And if I did have, well, the thing is, if I did have two more pets, probably like a dog one day or maybe another cat, I would name them Cloud and Lightning because I do love forms of weather and I do love rain especially. So if you have to go from there, the two other names are definitely Cloud and Lightning, especially because they're from Final Fantasy.
Can your cats be the mascots for our podcast?
Sure, my cat Rain is currently biting my hand. And I hope it tastes good.
I feel like that also, we need a picture of them to go up on the Instagram as well.
Alright, I'll get the cutest one possible. Oh, I have a great one. They're like sitting on a love seat, and they form a heart with their legs and their arms because they're touching, and it's really cute.
Yes.
It is beyond adorable. Definitely. They're perfect. Rain is the black cat, and Storm is the gray cat. No one in my life can understand, like, who is what for some reason. They just don't get it. And I'm like, I mean, when I first got them, when I was naming them, I was like, is this going to be tough? But then you just learn their personalities, and it's not. But most of my friends cannot tell the difference between the two from the names. And I get it. Some people go like, shouldn't Storm be the black cat? I'm like, I don't know. It's just, you just do what you do. And yes, I did teach myself how to play the clarinet completely because I wanted it and I did it. And that was really just that. I picked it up and I was like looking at this little instruction manual book that came with like the clarinet itself. And I was like, oh, so that's how you do it. And then I would just stop biting my arm. We're not talking back to you anymore. I would just, I just did it. And people were like, how? And I'm just like, I don't know. So it was just one of those things. I guess I have some kind of thing where I could just learn instruments or have, I think I have a, like not a perfect pitch ear, but like a very good pitch ear, and that could help you there too. And what was my other one? Oh, yeah, Ariel is my favorite Disney princess because she's perfect and she reads and, well, she tries and she wants adventure especially, and she sings beautiful songs and she's a ginger and she marries a beautiful Greek man and it's just everything I want in life. And she's a freaking mermaid! Hello!
She's a freaking mermaid! I mean, that is probably the best reason to love Ariel.
Yeah.
So welcome cool. To that was a lot of fun. Thanks. Danya, will you take the question of the day / the ANA? Because I feel like if I ask this, it's going to sound really narcissistic.
Yes. So, this is kind of like two questions, kind of like I squished them together in the dark because I felt like the first part of this would only make sense asking Karen only, but the second part becomes relevant to myself and Mitch.
Yeah.
So the first part is from Brittany, who says, how is Karen celebrating her birthday?
This morning, I woke up and ate cheesy bread for breakfast because I can do that on my birthday. I'm allowed. And then I ate some leftover Halloween candy because I decided that today I'm not feeling guilty about anything. Also, I had some soda, which I try not to do too often because I could become addicted to it. But, you know, it's my birthday. So, mostly today I've just been working. So I'm not really celebrating. Everyone keeps telling me to do something fun, and I can't think of anything fun to do because I am a horrible, boring person who just likes to live in her human burrito status. But I will say that my roommate is taking me to see Fantastic Beasts on Thursday, so that's exciting. Also, I am flying home at the end of this week for Thanksgiving and my 10-year high school reunion. Oh my god.
Wow.
And also, my mom will be giving me presents. So that's nice.
That's a very big weekend.
I completely forgot Thanksgiving was a thing.
Yeah, it's a thing.
Me too. I still have my Halloween decorations up.
Oh, Kristen was very nice, and she said that we could leave the Halloween decorations up until after I left. So it's going to transform while I'm away, because I'm a little bit of a Grinch and don't like celebrating Christmas too early. So she let me have this one for a little while longer. Let me have my Halloween.
Lazy. I always get really enthusiastic about, like, September 1st, I'm like, Halloween decorations. And then after that, I'm just like, oh, I don't know, Christmas will come eventually. It's not like I don't get excited about it. It's like, I put up all of this, like, haunted caution tape, and I don't want to go up on, like, I went on precarious, weird angles in my house to get that stuff up. I don't know for what. Like, I really, like, I don't have guests over very often. It's really just for myself, you know? And I'm just, like, looking at it, and I'm like, my house does feel very haunted. I get that much, but...
I did put my knitted Christmas pudding, pillows on my bed already.
I don't mostly understand the words that came out of your mouth in that order.
Knitted Christmas pudding pillows.
I
pillows with a knitting decoration of Christmas pudding?
No, they're fully knitted pillows, so they're like
designed to look like shaped like Christmas puddings. Oh my god. Mm-hmm.
Instagram.
Okay. See, Christmas puddings aren't a thing for me, really. I don't really know. Like, if you asked me, like, top five Christmas puddings in Family Feud, I'd be like, Jell-O? Like, I don't really...
Wait, do you guys not have Christmas pudding? Like, it's like a fruit cake in, like, a dome shape that you put, like, it's got, like, a brandy sauce on it, and usually it's, like, decorated with like a sprig of holly or something.
This fruitcake is known to be a thing that no one likes.
Yeah.
Do you guys not have it? Because they set it on fire and stuff as well. It's what? Like,
well, this is getting wild. Where is this going?
Christmas pudding? What the hell?
No, like figgy pudding. Like, that'd be my top answer for Family Feud because it's the song.
Have I found like a really weird British thing that I didn't realize was just a British thing? Like, I thought this was like a Christmas thing.
I mean, surely they talk about it a lot.
I feel like you're talking to the wrong crowd to ask us that. Like, maybe somebody else should weigh in, because I feel like Mitch and I not super knowledgeable about this.
Ask Natalie. She would know.
Yeah, I'm going to ask Natalie.
She's into the world's views.
Or I'll wait for Natalie to get to this bit and, like, just... I don't know.
Natalie sometimes knows more about America than I know. Whenever we go to the city
together...
She's
reminding Harry Potter that Australia is to America, if that made sense.
Whenever we go to the city together, like, she takes me around New York City in a state that I've lived in pretty much my entire life. And I'm like, yeah, let's let the Australian lead. That makes the most sense in this situation.
Yeah.
Do you know, it's the same with London. She knows London far better than I do. But that said, she's probably spent more time collectively in London than I have. And I live like 45 minutes outside of it right now. But it's mostly because it's just too expensive to be there all the time. Also, it's super crowded and just, ugh.
She's very well traveled, though, so she learns a lot on her travels. Like, she was
In London for a while.
She was touring with that band for a bit, and like, she's, I don't know, just like, I think she was working at a travel agency at one point. Did I get that wrong? Mm-hmm. Karen,
that is correct.
Yeah, so mm-hmm. I guess she might have gotten like comp tickets or just learned a lot from like needed to for her job or something, who knows.
Yeah,
Natalie's just cool, and she'll probably listen to this and feel very uncomfortable.
Yeah. Right, so for myself and Mitch, then, what would we arrange for Karen's birthday if money and laws of physics were no issue?
We're bringing her to go see Eminem wherever he is right now, right?
Yay!
Like an Eminem concert in her living room.
Yeah, it doesn't need to be like a fit, like he's having a concert for everyone. He could just be like, you know, oh, I'm going to go solo for Karen tonight. And then he just sits there and just, fuck yourself in the music the moment. What? And she's like, yes!
While Karen gets to be a human burrito at home.
Yes, and he stares lovingly into her eyes. And then he makes up a song about mushrooms for her.
Yes! That would be perfect.
Yeah.
Eminem raps about mushrooms for Karen in her living room while she's wrapped up in a blanket like a human burrito.
Human burrito. That's what we're going to get you. How do you like that, Karen? Is that a good present?
I'm going to pee my pants.
Wait.
Yeah.
While he's dressed up like Iron Man.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I'm kind of into this now.
You're all invited to my solo Eminem concert.
This is good.
I'm crying.
And at the end of the concert, he opens up a little box and it's a little baby kitten. Keep it. It's your new baby.
This is literally like my new dream come true. I want Eminem to give me a kitten.
He will. What do you name this kitten? Haley?
Marshall.
Well, he already named it Haley, so sorry.
Okay. Well. Okay.
Even if it's
I would allow that just because it's Eminem.
Even if it's a boy. I think, you know, a boy name of Haley would be really cute. Wouldn't that be adorable, especially for like a kitty?
Sure.
Yeah, it works.
Why not? There we go. Karen's perfect birthday.
Oh. Ooh, tears in my eyes. That was great, guys. Thank you.
We know our Karen.
Okay. We should probably wrap this up then, before that gets any more awkward. amazing, but very embarrassing. I appreciate all of you. Thank you very, very much.
We's here for you.
Yep. Okay, so that's it for this episode. If you'd like to ask us a question to answer on air, please send an ask to notaboutheweatherpodcast.com, or you can reach out to us at NATW Podcast on Twitter or Facebook. If you like these podcast episodes so far, please, please, please rate us on iTunes. We really appreciate it, and it helps us to be found by other people. And especially if you want to give us 5 stars, like we're not gonna argue against that.
We should continue the incentives. I'm not gonna lie, I always want to come up with new ones for you. Like,
I know, right? We do that on Rewatchable, and they're just always fun and ridiculous, and it's something that I really look forward to. And when I don't offer an incentive for giving us 5 stars on iTunes, I always feel like something's missing.
I'm going to say that this time, I'm going to go on a limb and say, Karen's going to buy you a kitten if you do a 5-star review of us on iTunes.
Yes. Why did you use your sexy voice for that? That was weird.
Okay. Oh, I did.
Karen's going to buy you a kitten.
So that's the thing. It just kind of turns on when you're like this. It's just, you're so sick that you'll lose it all in the moment. No, stop.
Embrace the sexy Mitch.
Never
embrace
let it go, go.
Okay, we need to go now. I'm like becoming delusional. Yeah. So until do we do sign offs on this? I don't know.
I know.
Brain shut down. Okay. Bye.
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 Too many podcasts. I can't remember how we end all of them.
I know.